But the bigger gift was the journey. They left their home country to come to see this child and to worship him. And as we consider that journey, why they came and why it matters, two things I want us to take from this story of this journey of the Magi to Jesus. And the first thing I want us to see is simply this, that anyone can come to Jesus. Israel was a waiting nation. They were waiting for the Christ, God's King, to come to them. Let me read again from those verses I read to us a few minutes ago. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So it wasn't just Israel that were expecting this birth of the king. Clearly, these Magi, they're from the east, from Arabia or Persia or Babylon. They in their past, had conquered Israel. And they would have therefore, as a part of capturing the people, would have captured the learning of Israel. And the great prophets and promises that Israel had been given would have been part of their libraries. So it's not unrealistic that the Magi, seeing this star appearing in the sky, equated it with the birth of the promised King of the Jews. Now these Magi, we don't know exactly who they were. We know that they weren't kings. We know that. In fact, that they were kind of sort of experts, possibly astrologers, possibly magicians, who had been gathered by the kings of the east in their courts. And it was their job to honour the kings. And these people, some of them were astrologers. They studied the night sky seeking guidance. And when they saw this star, for whatever reason, they set out. They set out on the journey to go and see this king who had been born. Well, as they arrive, they go to where they expect this baby to have been born. The king of the Jews would therefore be born in the capital of the Jews, Jerusalem, which is where they head. Verse 3, when the king Herod heard about the king being born, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. And he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ was to be born. Now you can imagine why Herod was somewhat disturbed and shocked by the announcements that a king had been born. After all, when you claim to be king of the Jews yourself, it's not always good news to hear that someone else is claiming that title too. He knows that he's not the long-promised king because he asks his advisors who this child is and where this king was to be born. And what they're told, verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is where the prophet has written, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And so they knew, here was the king who was to be born, the Christ, the Messiah, and he is to be born in Bethlehem. At which point, Herod and all Jerusalem got up and went to Bethlehem to see. No, that's not what they did. No, far from it. They sent the Magi on their way. And there is the tragedy for the people of Israel at that time, for Jerusalem. There they longed for the Messiah to come, but when his arrival is announced, they ignore it. Well, Matthew wants us to point this out to us, the irony, the terrible, terrible irony, what's going on here. Here was a people waiting for a king they ignored, and rather pagan Magi take that journey to Bethlehem to go and visit him. They are the most unlikely people you would expect to go to meet the King of the Jews. Well, isn't that part of the point here? Isn't part of the point of the story that actually, with the arrival of God's King come to earth, actually, he's a king not just for Jewish religious people or the hierarchy, but for all. Now, again, just imagine the shock of this here. Just imagine that, you know, a new prince was born in London, and of course, everyone, all the world's leaders ignore it. that the kind of prime minister doesn't pay attention to the fact that there's been a new royal birth. There's just silence in the media, and then this kind of ragtaggle kind of band of people turn up at, I know, Portland Hospital, wherever this child is born in London, and they want to go onto the ward. But Matthew's point is so clear. Here is non-Jews, people who aren't from God's people, people who wouldn't claim this as their king. They come to see him, to worship him. And the religious people and the elite of the day, they don't care at all. And Matthew says to us, look, God's king has come, but he's not just king for the Jews or religious people, but people, anyone, anywhere. A privilege earlier in the year to spend some time with a lady who became a Christian, and she was confirmed in October. And one thing she said was, as she come to understand who Jesus was and what he meant to her, she said, I never imagined that God would welcome someone like me. And the good news of the Magi, these visitors coming to Jerusalem, is that anyone, whoever you are, whatever you've done, you could come to Jesus. There's no one held back. It doesn't matter whether you're religious or not. It doesn't matter whether you feel out of place coming to him. It doesn't matter if it costs you a lot on the journey. No, everyone can come to Jesus. But the second thing I want us to see from this visit from the Magi is whilst anyone can come to Jesus, Matthew also wants us to see what it means when we do come to him. And it's simply this, that Jesus comes to rule as king. Now, that sounds blinding obvious on one level. What sort of king doesn't rule? If you're a ruler of nothing, you're not really a king. But here is the one who will rule. For out of you will come a ruler, said the prophet, who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. The king of the Jews, announced by a star in the sky, announced by the prophets of the past, is a king who will rule his people and will rule them wonderfully as a shepherd. He'll protect them, guide them, and lead them. He will lay down his life for them as a shepherd guides, protects, and will lay down his life for his sheep. He's not the king who will lord it over his people. He's not the king who demands obedience. But he is the king who rules. Now just compare that for a moment with Herod, because Herod is also called king here. He was king of the Jews. He was put there by the Romans. We're told when before the Magi went on their way, Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so I may too go and worship him." And I wonder if you know the story of Herod. Well, he found out the age of the child from the rising of the star. Now, the journey would have been at least 4 months for the Magi to get from the east to Jerusalem. And so as Herod here, he's kind of considering, kind of, oh, well, maybe this baby is going to be a toddler now. Well, what does he do? Does he go to worship this baby? No, well, Matthew chapter 2 tells us. He goes and he slaughters all the children under the age of 2 in and around Bethlehem. And we're meant to feel the shock of that. We're meant to look at Herod and think, what sort of a king is he? How does he treat his people? He goes and he tries to keep hold of his power. This birth of the king of the Jews is a threat to him. He wants to be in control, and so he kills them. And I think Matthew wants us to take stop and think, well, just a moment, just think of this king. Now, that is the king that you can have if you ignore Jesus. And more than that, I wonder if just there's a little bit of Herod in all of us. Now, please don't mishear me. I don't believe that for a moment any of us here are kind of despotic child killers. I'm not saying that. But I am saying just maybe all of us, if we're honest, like to be in control of things, don't we? I think we do. And that's really, isn't that what Herod's going on here? His desire is to be in control. He wants to control his life, his future. I think there's a little bit of all of us of that, isn't there? When Jesus claims to be king, it means that he's come to rule. The Magi recognize that, but I wonder, are we willing to relinquish some of our control if Jesus has come to be God's king? Well, the Magi, they go and they bow before this baby in the manger in Bethlehem. They give him presents fit for a king. They are striking, verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And a singing unicorn. No, that's not there. Now, these aren't presents for a baby, for a young child. These are presents for a king. Gold. Gold shows the worth of Jesus. Incense was used for his worship. Here is someone who would be worshipped as God, just as they bow before him and worshipped him. And myrrh. Myrrh is so striking. Myrrh is what you use to embalm bodies of the dead. And so here, as they got this precious gift out, they're saying, hello, little boy, here's a gift for when you die. It sounds so out of place, but of course here they were seeing more than they knew. Here were they seeing a child that would come to be as God's king, who would be worshipped, but also would come to die on the cross. Well, that might wonder, well, what does that mean for us today? What does this mean for us? This is God's king. Well, I want to encourage you to just simply this. Come and find out more about this Jesus. If you want to know why he's the king who you should obey and worship, and why he came to die, you're thinking, well, why is that? I simply invite you to come back to St. Paul's. We're here every Sunday afternoon at 4:30. Come along. In the new year, we're doing a short course called Life Explored. It's seven sessions that helps us understand who Jesus is and why he matters and how he makes sense of life. There's postcards at the back. Take one. We invite you to come just the first session, a taster session. If you don't like it, you don't have to come back, and we won't hassle you or bother you, but come and find out why this king matters. Why did the Magi set out on this huge journey? Because they realized that this child, the birth of this boy, mattered. And so they left everything and left their homes for the better part of at least 3/4 of a year to make this journey. It's not a small ask, is it, to come on a 7-week course, when we put it like that? I must wrap up. We've seen that anyone can come to Jesus. As people from afar, they come to worship Christ. Now, there's no one here who can't come if they want to. And we've seen as well that Jesus comes to rule. He comes to rule, and therefore we want to obey him and worship him as God's king. Don't ignore him like Jerusalem. Don't sideline him like Herod. The shepherd king comes for his people. Will you be a part of it? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus Christ can rule us and love us far better than we could ever know or imagine, or ever we could do ourselves. This Christmas time, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as the one who would both come to rule us, but also die for us. Like the Magi, would we bow our knees before him, worship him, and obey him. For we ask this in your name. Amen.